From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Tuesday, January 24th, 2017. I'm Philip Grant. Melanie Lekachavik is reporting in the Daily Mail that the town of Cooksackie has a potential buyer for the building that houses its two offices. Town Supervisor Rick Hance said at a January meeting of the town council, and I quote, "The independent appraiser put it on the market for $239,000. We have been offered $210,000 by a couple who offered us cash. They understand we would need to stay in the building for some time," end quote. The council put the Reed Street building on the market in anticipation of the construction of a new municipal building at 56 Bailey Street. That building would house town hall offices, the highway garage, and town court. The construction project has been in development for more than a decade, and the town was recently awarded a $500,000 grant for the building through the State Dormitory Authority. Ground has not yet been broken, so it is not known when the new building would be finished, but Hunt said the town would negotiate a low rent and stay on Reed Street as part of the agreement with the buyers. The town is engaged in ongoing talks with the potential buyers, and no contract has been drawn up. The names of the potential buyers were not disclosed. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Amelia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper that the Kinderhook Village Board has unanimously approved using the state's unified solar permit in the effort to regulate solar panels in the village. During the board's January meeting, members also noted that approving the unified permit could also lead to a grant from the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority. Mayor Jim Dunning said in the wording of the permit, there is mention that a historical review should be conducted as needed. Durham agreed that approval of the state permit would be useful for the village. For one reason, it will streamline the process for contractors because they can follow the state guidelines for village solar projects. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Marie J. French is reporting at Politico New York, one of the most powerful utility regulators in the country, could soon have to make decisions on everything from major utility rate increases to policies on the independent energy market unanimously with only two members. Chair Audrey Zibelman will leave the Public Service Commission in March, and Commissioner Patricia Acampora will depart in February. As a result, the five-person board will be left with two commissioners if Governor Andrew Cuomo and the state Senate do not quickly act to replace them. Richard Berkeley, executive director of the Public Utility Law Project, said, and I quote, "The commission will still be able to carry out a certain amount of business. It's just there's a bunch of larger pieces that might be stalled temporarily," end quote. French writes that many key decisions could be made in meetings during the next 3 months before the commission's membership shrinks. However, the two remaining commissioners, Diane Berman, a Republican, and George Sayre, a Democrat, would be able to form a quorum and, if unanimous, act on matters, said the Committee for Open Government's Bob Freeman. He said, and I quote, "If there really is a controversial matter that's political in nature, you know that nothing is going to happen," end quote. You can read that full story in Politico New York. Carrie Allen is reporting in the Chatham Courier that Gary Flattery, the executive director of Columbia County Veterans Service Department, will be back before the new Lebanon Board of Education this week with a request that the district opt in for the alternative veterans exemption. This will be Flattery's third appeal in many years. This time around, he will not only make an appeal for the alternative exemption, he will ask the board to approve the Cold War veterans exemption as well. Among 11 local districts, including 5 out-of-county school districts that collect taxes from Columbia County residents, New Lebanon is the only district that has not opted in. To include the exemptions on the 2017-18 school tax bills, the district will need to hold a public hearing and adopt the exemption before March 1st. Flattery will make his presentation to the New Lebanon Board of Education at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, January 25th. You can read that full story in the Chatham Courier. The Associated Press is reporting a lawsuit was filed on Monday, January 23rd, alleging that President Donald Trump is in violation of the U.S. Constitution by allowing his business to accept payments from foreign governments. The action was taken by the liberal-funded watchdog group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CREW, in the Southern District of New York. Among the plaintiffs is Dutchess County resident Zephyr Teachout. Teachout is a Fordham law professor who ran unsuccessfully in November for New York's 19th congressional district seat. The lawsuit claims Trump is violating a clause in the Constitution that prohibits him from receiving money from diplomats for stays at his hotels or foreign governments for leases of office space in his buildings. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Wendy Libertore is reporting in the Times Union that approximately 50 property owners in Ballston Spa, Saratoga County, have been notified by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency that their homes may be contaminated by the potential human carcinogens released into the air and soil by Ricketts dry cleaning. An EPA vapor intrusion study completed in August found levels of chloroform, TCE, PCE, vinyl chloride, benzene, and naphthalene in the air underneath and inside the Route 50 dry cleaning establishment above the EPA health benchmarks. According to the EPA fact sheet, the chemicals used in the dry cleaning business spilled or leaked from underground tanks and give off gases that can seep through the soil and into basements. The EPA handout reads that the vapors can, and I quote, build up to a point where the health of the residents or workers in those buildings could be at risk, end quote. Once testing is completed, affected homeowners will be notified. The EPA is expected to install, pay for, and maintain a system to eliminate contaminated vapors from the homes. This will be done at no cost to the property owner. You can read that full story in the Times Union. Marie French is also reporting in Politico New York that although Governor Andrew Cuomo did not mention the state's water quality crisis during his State of the State tour, he quietly included proposals designed to prevent a similar crisis in the future in the budget proposal he unveiled last week. Cuomo wants to require water systems with fewer than 10,000 customers to be tested for contaminants, including PFOA, that the Federal Environmental Protection Agency monitors but does not regulate. PFOA was one of the chemicals found in Hoosick Falls. Private wells could also be tested under the governor's plan. Dan Shapley, Riverkeeper's water quality expert, said, and I quote, whatever criticism one could have about the early response in Hoosick Falls, I think this proposal is a laudable attempt for the state to get its hands around these issues, end quote. About 2.5 million New Yorkers currently get their drinking water from systems that are not required to test for unregulated contaminants being monitored by the EPA. You can read that full story at Politico New York. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter weather advisory for today, Tuesday, January the 24th, until 7 p.m. for all of eastern New York and adjacent western New England. Sleet and freezing rain with additional snow, sleet, and ice accumulations are expected throughout the day. The steadiest and heaviest precipitation will occur in the morning, with some additional periods of wintry mix expected from the afternoon into early evening. North winds of 10 to 20 miles an hour are expected as well. As for today, the National Weather Service is forecasting freezing rain and sleet before 11 a.m., then freezing rain between 11 a.m. and noon, then rain afternoon. Temperature high will be near 33 degrees. New ice accumulation of less than 1/10 of an inch is possible. New sleet accumulation of less than 1/2 inch is possible. For Tuesday night, rain, snow, and sleet likely before 11 p.m., then a chance of snow between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature low of 30 degrees. New snow and sleet accumulation of less than 1 inch is possible for tonight. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 40 degrees. Wednesday night, a chance of rain showers after 10 p.m., mixing with snow after 4 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 34. And on Thursday, a chance of rain and snow showers before 7 a.m., then a chance of rain showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 43 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. Sunrise today was at 7:14 a.m., and the sun will set at 5 p.m., That will give us 9 hours and 45 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Tuesday, the 24th day of January, 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.